All right, very, very nice. Who the hell is that?
Flavor Flav!
Oh. He looks so great. Look at that.
Why is he at the Olympics?
I don't know, but he's become like an ambassador for the Olympics or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
talk about reinventing yourself.
Talk about going, finding
your
bottom
eat your
of the
heart
barrel.
Out, Madonna. This guy knows how to do it. Flavor Flav is now like an Olympic ambassador. I love it. Waris is here. Yes, look at this. Yes. Lekker.
Where am I? How's it?
You got up so early for us. Thanks, man.
I did, yeah, that's cool. Usually I get up this early and just sit at home and play on my phone.
Is that what you do? Yeah. Listen, you are ungovernable on X at the moment. I sometimes wonder when it's going to come, when they're going to try and fucking go for you.
Ah, because fuck, they've tried before.
You talk such a lot of cuck about so many people and you're causing nonsense with everyone. I see you've been fighting the good fight for this girl who's entered Miss South Africa.
Oh, for Chi-Chi.
Yeah. Yes. And I mean, listen, first of all, what a beautiful girl.
Beautiful.
Second of all, what kind of stupid people do we have around us in this country who are so xenophobic and so full of shit that they think somehow they've done something because they were born here?
Yeah, but she was born here too.
She was born here too.
And this is the thing.
But these people think because they were born here and their parents were born here, they've got some special talent that everyone in the world's waiting for.
Yes.
What is that?
They also seem to be, they're conflating culture and ethnicity with nationality and citizenship.
They even get tribal. I saw people going about like, no, if you're Shangaan, you should be able to do this, but not that.
Mm.
If you're Tswana, you can do this, but not that. Like, what kind of people are these? Do these guys even realize half of this stuff was made up? Like, the borders of this country were drawn on a map by guys who are all dead.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, none of them are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened because there was a river here.
And a mountain range there.
You know, you've got the Matabele in Zimbabwe, and you've got the Ndebele here in South Africa. They're basically the same.
Yeah.
The only thing that separates the two different names is the Limpopo River and this artificial border that was created when the Republic of South Africa was declared in the like early 1900s.
Mm.
So people who get attached to this nationality thing, I'm like, do me a favor. There are so many amazing people in this country who might not have been born here. They might have parents who weren't born here, and they're adding value. Look at her. Tell me you're gonna struggle to find someone as pretty as that. I hope she wins.
I did tweet and say that you know, I'm also biased because she's hot.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not that guy, but I'm not gonna cancel visually appealing people.
Yeah, no. It is a beauty pageant. Like, did anyone forget? Like, who did we conveniently forget that?
That's the thing.
But it's a beauty pageant.
So we should be measuring beauty, right?
That's it.
Sanella says, I'm a lamb chops, the colored Zulus here. Kusa Zoba lit.
I'm a lamb chops.
I'm a lamb chops. Is that your new?
I don't know. Sandile, please provide us context.
Oh, that's great. I love it. Just by the way, you talked about like visually appealing.
Mm.
The other thing that you did is you have been going at that fat Secret Service agent, the fat one. Like, I started laughing out loud the other day. So Waris tweeted like a couple of pictures of the Trump assassination attempt.
I made it my wallpaper.
And there was that one Secret Service agent who she like ducked when the shots went off.
Yeah.
Like covering her, and which is the opposite of what a Secret Service agent should do. But
it's the natural thing to do as a human being.
As a human being.
I mean, we expect Secret Service agents to be superhuman.
Right.
Yeah.
At the same time though, even if she stood up straight, it wouldn't have helped.
Yeah, because she wasn't
she was supposed to cover. So the job of the Secret Service is Trump is under that pile of people. You cover him with your body because all of them have got body armor.
Right.
So the idea is he's at the bottom of the pile. We cover his whole body, especially organs and head, until the danger is averted. So let's assume the shooter carried on firing into the pile. He was just going to be hitting Secret Service agents. Bam.
And
Trump would have been
fine.
She
had a lot of padding.
Plenty of padding. This is the thing.
So you called her the fat one.
And
you haven't got like huge amounts of shit from people?
I got a bit of shit
from
people.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But for ease of reference, everybody knew who I was
talking about.
I was just like.
And it turns out she was like
out.
She was like a cafeteria worker in Washington, D.C. before she got this job.
No ways.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's been all over the news this week. And I'm like, come on, guys. Come on. We can do better. Honestly, I mean, like, I think there are taxi bosses in this country who could handle themselves much better than those Secret Service agents.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Fight. It used to be, right? And this is what I suppose it's also like now that it's tested. You know, it only matters when it's tested is my thing. So if we are told that Secret Service agents are highly trained, highly intelligent, you know, like Navy SEAL level guys.
Special ops.
They're special ops, dog. You know what I mean? Like these are the Oaks. Mm. And then now when a couple of shots go off and it's like, let's see what the Oaks do. And then it's the cafeteria worker, fat one. Now we're like, you guys have been lying to us for 30 years. Because it wasn't tested under Obama. It wasn't tested under Biden. It wasn't tested under George W.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't tested under Clinton. Yeah. The last time it was tested was Reagan.
Yeah.
And they hit him too.
Mm.
You see? But he got hit and then one of his guys was there.
Jumped in the way.
Jumped in the way and took the rest of the bullets. That's a Secret Service agent. So that's the standard. And I'm sorry, they missed it by a mile.
By the way, have you guys seen the clip of Reagan giving a speech after he got shot?
Oh, it was brilliant.
And the balloon one.
And the balloon pop.
Yeah.
The balls on that guy.
And he goes, you missed.
You missed me.
Oh, my God.
Listen, if you haven't been following him, at Shady_Lurker, I mean, the guy's dropping all kinds of cool stuff every single day.
Yeah.
I see him talking a lot about American politics. Clearly, this is the greatest show at the moment, right? The Olympics are fine, but this is actually the best show. Yeah,
this is the drama that we all want to see. And so, if you're not interested in it, get interested in it. Because it's actually so much fun in fiction.
And it's so good. Like the characters here. Like, I saw you like going at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez the other day.
She's an imbecile.
She said, being obsessed with representing women is goofy. Trying to watch what LGBTQ people do all the time is abnormal. Punishing people. Anyway, she's being sarcastic because she thinks that J.D. Vance, the vice presidential candidate, she says he's weird. Mm. And the whole Democratic platform is now going with this, he's weird. And it's amazing. You see all the media institutions starting this, it's weird thing. It's clear they're all getting their talking points
from
the same place.
How weird is that?
That's weird.
That's really weird.
And when
everybody
you say,
just gets a line, almost like there's like this inside WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
And they're like, guys, we're going to go with J.D. Vance is weird. Mm. And everybody starts like parroting this weird thing. So, and I don't get it. Like what I said to her there is that her whole team is weird is because everybody that AOC associates with, from the squad, from Ilhan Omar and all those clowns that she's in Congress with, to that guy that she was supporting for. Remember, she supported one of the nominees that were jumping around on stage looking like Yo TV presenters at the age of 14.
Yeah, he just lost his seat in Congress.
He got his ass handed to him, okay?
Yeah.
When they did the whole microphone thing between each other, she comes on stage and she's like, it's like if I'm hyping Gareth. Mm. And I'm like, give it up for GC in the building. And then I give Gareth the mic. And then instead, I mean, let's not forget, this is a political rally.
Right.
He takes the mic and then what does he do? He starts rapping along to the song and vibing. And he's like, in the sun, in the world.
So
they switch off the music because they're like, you're a political candidate.
Yes.
And he's like, yo, turn that shit back on. And then he carries on with the verse. And I'm like, well, thank you. That's weird. I'm
very
out.
Weird.
Yep. And so were the voters. Weird. The voters were like, what the fuck? We're not voting for this nonsense.
Mm-hmm. But it is weird. The whole show is weird. The whole American election's weird. I mean, I just think the stuff that has happened in the last couple of weeks has been insane. And there's more to come. I mean, you think about it, right? They've been telling us for months and months that there's nothing wrong with Joe Biden.
For years.
Including for Kamala years. Harris. Yeah. She's been saying, he's great. There is nothing wrong
he's
with
sharp.
Joe.
He's sharp.
Sharp as a knife. Mm. And he can do anything. And then within like a couple of hours, they have all just shivved him right in the side.
Mm.
They're like, you're out, old man. Apparently, this is an interesting story. I heard this the other day. Apparently what happened was on like the Saturday or Sunday of the week that he resigned.
Mm. Which is last week, Saturday.
He was in Vegas. and he got a call from Obama.
Yeah.
And Obama said, Joe, I've spoken to Kamala and she's going to pull the 25th Amendment on you if you don't quit.
Yeah, which is the impeachment.
Right. It's where you basically remove someone from office because they're out of their minds or incompetent. Mm. And she was going to get cabinet on side. So basically, they held his feet to the fire.
Mm.
But I got to ask, like, how the people who keep telling us about democracy, people who keep telling us about the will of the people, basically three people made this happen, right? It was Nancy Pelosi, who's also old and senile, dude, frankly.
Geez. I don't know how that's continuously overlooked.
And so corrupt. So corrupt. This is the woman who is like the best insider trader in America, right?
Mm. In the world, possibly.
She's like, we're gonna pass this bill tomorrow. Says to her husband, go and buy a couple of those stocks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like textbook insider trading. Anyway, she's one of them. Then the other one is Barack Obama. Mm. It's amazing. Like this guy, surely when you've been a really successful, and he was by all accounts, I mean, I was a massive fan of him in his first term, right? By the second term, I'd kind of soured a little bit. But first term, he was great. He stood for a lot of things that I think were really, really powerful. America was flying high at the time. Like the guy could have just left his legacy, moved on with it. He can't let go, hey?
Mm-mm.
And now he's, whether we don't know, he's probably been... Because Joe's senile and doesn't know where
they're
he is.
Saying he's behind been running the scenes, things, right? Yeah. The hidden hand.
But surely he has had enough now. Like, just go and retire. You got this beautiful house in what is it?
Martha's Vineyard.
Martha's Vineyard. I mean, can you get a more like preppy place than that?
You've got Big Mike.
Big Mike, your
at
husband.
The
I mean, why? That's another thing you're going.
Like, you got Big Mike at the crib.
What? No, wait, what is, hold on.
Couldn't you have some chefs to drown? So like, what is this?
So I'm the Brigitte Macron is a man. Do you really believe? Do you really
allegedly.
Believe that? Well, allegedly.
Yes.
We have to say.
Can I tell you
when you ask me, right. Do I really believe it? This is my thing, right? Yeah. Where there's smoke, there's fire. That's the first point. The second point is, you know, you kind of look, it's a long story, but you have to go down the rabbit hole, because my thing is you've got to look at arguments for and against.
Right.
Of course.
And Candace Owens has done a very good job of the Brigitte Macron side, right?
Yeah. By the way, the only thing that the people who don't agree with her have to say is that she's crazy. They don't look
which
at
is dismissive.
They're,
they
don't, they're no, not, they're, not yeah, they're the playing evidence. The man, not the ball. They're not actually looking at the evidence.
There
which,
we go.
I'm not saying she's right either, but I watched Piers Morgan. He's like, all he's doing is trying to discredit Candace.
Yes.
Mm. He's not paying any attention to the details. Like, it is kind of weird that this Brigitte Macron, that she, we don't know anything about her prior to her becoming his teacher.
It's almost like she was born at the age of 50.
And is it
like she came out of nowhere? Like, what is this?
Why the hell is it not weird to anyone else that she started dating this guy
when he was 14?
He was a child. Yes.
And she was that already 50.
Yeah, she was like,
all right. I'll say this. Like, to me, I don't really believe that Michelle Obama is a man. But it is the funniest of all the conspiracies.
Sure. It is.
Like, it is just the funniest of all.
It's
because
the conspiracy theory that won't go away.
But you know why? Because it bugs a certain kind of person that I like seeing being annoyed.
Yes.
That's all it is. It's like, I don't actually have any beef with Big Mike. I don't have any problem.
Big Mike.
But whenever I see it, I start laughing because it's just so ridiculous
but
and outrageous.
Do you know how easy it would be, Garrett? Let's just...
Big Mike.
All they'd have to do...
And
same
people
as
are
Bridget
pulling
Macron.
Up pictures of him rowing across the...
to go and dump the body. It would be as simple as
Big
post
Mike.
A picture of you in your youth. Like, just give us enough evidence of you as a teenage...
From Brigitte Macron.
From Big Mike or Brigitte Macron. But by posting said picture, they would then be entertaining the conspiracy.
Yeah, right. So they can't, so they can't do it,
But at the same time, it's just adding fuel to the conspiracy because
it does.
Like, why can't you show us a picture of you as a woman?
Hey, speaking of which, I brought this up a little bit earlier. I saw you were furious, and I am too, about the beach volleyball women having to wear tights now.
Yeah, no. That's
a major. This is a big loser for the Olympics.
Cancel the whole sport.
Honestly,
right? Bruh. You know what? I don't even know what goes on in volleyball. I can't name a single player.
Yeah.
What I do know is when that thing starts, we all look forward to Brazil, Argentina. We've got our key
South
countries.
Americans. Yeah.
We want to see bums. It is what it is. It makes the sport more entertaining and now more inclined to see people spiking and whatnot. You know, I get into the terms even.
Right.
Now you put them in tights. What for, Blue? It's what beach volleyball. This is appropriate attire to wear when playing beach volleyball.
Agreed.
Meanwhile, some man's nutsack was on TV, but that's okay.
Oh, at no. The same competition. Oh.
Like, what are we doing?
Okay, so I found someone sent this to me because apparently that's nonsense. The guy's nutsack wasn't sticking out there. Let me just read this to you. I don't know if it's going to help the argument. I feel like if I bring up any evidence, you two are just going to laugh at it anyway.
Oh, well, and remember, for and against. I've got evidence to the
this
contrary.
This is from metro.co.uk. Okay, so I don't know if that's a reputable business, but viewers of the Olympics opening ceremony thought they'd spotted a major wardrobe malfunction as a performer's testicle appeared on the show. On Friday night, Philip Catrine, a French singer-songwriter, was covered head to toe in a blue body paint. He was unveiled by a giant cloche.
That's the Smurf.
Yeah, he was the blue Smurf. He was playing the part of Dionysus, the god of wine, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought he was the meal.
Was meant to wear a French headdress and sash, meant to be portraying the god Dionysus, according to many viewers, that was lost on them. But as Catrine began singing, viewers could not help but notice one of the background performers wearing a black jacket. Now, that's the one that we're talking about.
And his jacket wasn't the problem. It was the bum shorts.
A testicle popping out of his pants. The performer and his rogue piece of flesh was on show for 30 seconds. So now they're saying, many were convinced the testicle was on show for millions around the world. A round hole in the black tights started out as a testicle shape when Catrine began his song. But as the performer unfroze and danced, it became clear that the split was becoming bigger. Late into the performance, they were cutting around. But by that time, the hole in the performer's black tights has ripped nearly across the entire front part of their right thigh. It was not only a gaffe. So they're trying to say it was just a tear in the pants.
Yes, I did see something that said it was a wardrobe malfunction.
A ball dropped through.
It did. And the ball was on display. And there was a child not too far from the ball.
That's not nice.
And that's cool.
I don't like that.
Yes.
The child had no
place being there either, because it was. And they're also trying to downplay, like, you know, the hypersexualization of all the characters, because it was drag and transgender. Like, the whole celebration.
That whole song the Blue Smurf sang was about, like, we must all be nude and there naked.
Blue Smurf was also naked. Yeah. That's why, I mean, again, I thought he was the meal. I didn't know it was the god Dionysus. Missed that, went over my head.
Same here.
The horseman thing, they were like, it's Joan of Arc. It's the spirit of the Seine River. And I was like, but it's kind of fitting in more with this, you know, horseman of the apocalypse thing.
Right.
You can't blame people. Remember, art is also how you interpret it. So it can be explained afterwards, but this isn't like fucking Where's Wally? I'm supposed to just get it when I see it.
Where's Bollock?
You see,
that's what I. So I'll tell you why.
Calling a ball being out of a pants a wardrobe malfunction and calling it indecent exposure, the ball was still out of the pants.
Right.
We don't like it.
No one wants to see it.
No one. This is the whole point, right? I think that there are probably people in the world who want to see vagina, want to see penis, maybe want to see titties, but no one has ever gone, we need more balls.
We need more balls. It could have been, if it was Bridget Macron's ball out of.
That would have solved so many problems.
That would have solved so many problems, bro.
Maybe the ball was a representation of the first lady.
Maybe it's like a tribute.
I've looked at the art and I've been like, it's a representation of France. The president, his wife, the ball sack.
For me, having learned what I've learned about Brigitte, I honestly believe she was the brains behind all of it.
She put the whole show together.
Bring my people together. We'll put them at the table. We'll ridicule religion. We'll do all of this crazy stuff. And the world will start talking about it. I find it really interesting, though, that you can't find footage of the opening ceremony.
They've taken it down.
Hey? You see?
And they're even going after people who are reposting it. So they are embarrassed as hell. So don't tell me it's all the people who are upset who've got a problem.
Mm-mm.
The Olympic Committee themselves are unhappy, and even their advertisers are dropping out. So
bad. They did have a press conference trying to explain it away with the show director guy, Gayok. They had this whole thing where they were like, look, you know, our intention was not to offend anyone. That's where they explained that, you know, the goddess of the sin, the god so-and-so, Dionysus. And I was like, you guys are now coming to try and do damage control.
Yeah, exactly.
To say, actually, what we intended, This was our intent. And it was, no one
our intention was to have a ball pop out to represent Brigitte Macron.
That would have been more believable.
Okay. I've got to ask you about this. Venezuela had their elections, and it's been very controversial because, of course, the communists there have been going around beating people up and all the rest.
Yeah, what is happening
there? And the guy won by more than, I mean, if you add up all the votes, it's more than 100%.
I saw that. I was going to ask you. Like,
all the votes.
I'm not as clued up as I should be. What is the story there?
Yeah, so here, you actually posted this. I think this is a perfect illustration of the problem. So you add up his and all the other candidates, and you get to more than 100%.
Yes.
Right?
109 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, there's no way that that guy is as popular as he is. I'll tell you why. Because people in Venezuela have no food.
Yeah, yeah. The place is falling apart.
They've got no food. So, you know how pissed off we are with the ANC and how they didn't get their 50% because we don't have power?
Mm-hmm.
But you can still get food.
Mm. Mm. You can't even find stray dogs in Venezuela.
No, because they've eaten them all.
That's it.
They've eaten them all.
That is insane.
Yeah, how hectic. Bad,
so, you can't let your children go more than one block from the Bozi, but otherwise they get blue smurfed. It's wild.
I'm telling you, it's bad. They get put under one of those big silver dishes.
But is Maduro, so Maduro is the face of what's currently happening in Venezuela.
Yeah, so he took over from
Chavez,
Hugo, who's of course Julius's hero, Hugo Chavez. He was the first communist leader of Venezuela. Remember, Venezuela used to be the country that churned out all those beauty queens.
I was to say all Venezuela, the Miss Universes.
It was famous for being like
And Miss Worlds.
It was like a factory country for producing the most beautiful women.
Yes, it was the hair, original Eastern Europe.
Best teeth, best plastic surgery, best everything. They had like whole training schools for girls who entered competitions. And for a while, I remember, like, if Venezuela was on the stage, everyone else knew they were going to lose.
Yeah.
But now, of course, they don't have anything to eat, so they...
So has the standard of the beauty
totally
queen
gone down?
Really?
Yeah. Well, they have no money to spend on
now. Now I am pissed. Let me tell you something. When this, listen,
so
the eradication of beauty queens. Buy me a
this
ticket.
Is the genocide.
I'm going to Venezuela.
This is the genocide you care about.
Yes.
What are you going to do? Bring a whole bunch back.
Dude. They should have sent the Trump shooter to Venezuela to sort this out. This is madness.
Except he can't shoot straight, so we got a problem there. No,
shit,
yes.
I didn't think of that, actually. Yeah, we haven't seen a Miss Venezuela
It's a big problem.
In a while.
I keep saying to people, and I think just judging by your tweets, you agree. And I know Jack agrees, too. Like, this is the best country to be in at the moment. Everything else is just going to shit. Like, North America is obviously a big soap opera with the
that's like Days of Our Lives.
Nobody really knows nobody cares what's going on in Canada.
Nobody cares. And it's also like serious
disaster, shit, right? Mm-hmm. Big problems.
Justin Trudeau's.
Yeah, and Toronto, they're like, you can't, if you walk around as a Jew with your yarmulke on or your little mug and David on, they're going to attack you in places. And there's certain parts of Canada you just go, yes, this is Canada, believe it or not. The supposedly friendliest country in the world. Europe is a mess. I mean, I don't know if you've seen what happened in England.
Did you see what? I actually saw late last night and this morning, because there was that horrific stabbing of the kids at the Taylor Swift dance class. Now the community of that area is like uprising in the street. They were like pelting the police with bricks, and you know, like, it's one of those.
Why is it so hard for the media to tell us what actually happened? It took me such a long time to actually figure out why people were upset, because nobody says what happens. They're like, I don't want to share these images. People need to see the reality of the country we're living in. Terrible attacks. Is like King Charles is sending messages of condolence. And I'm like, but
what happened?
Tell me what happened.
Yeah.
Why is it so hard to find out who tried to stab who at what?
But they made it confusing with the at what as well. They kept talking about Swifties.
Yes.
And then I was like, is this a Taylor Swift concert? What are they? You know, remember the Ariana Grande concert?
Yes, that was where that big bombing happened in Manchester.
So when they were like Swifties, I thought it's a concert. That's what I was looking for.
Right.
Then I find out it's a dance class. I was like, okay, this could have just been simplified. Lunatic immigrant stabs six children.
But again, it's the narrative that they want to push. They don't want to talk about immigrants doing anything wrong, you see, because the government at the moment are very pro-immigrant.
Yeah, I mean,
and The population of the United Kingdom is very anti-immigrant, and the politicians are embarrassed by that. So they're trying to hide it and disguise it. And it's a big problem.
Mm. I saw this really interesting clip some time back. This lady was on the Bill Maher.
Yeah.
Bill Maher's show. And she was like, when it comes to mass shooters in the States, if it's a white guy, they never say that it's a white guy. They'll just say there was a mass shooter, blah, 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 blah. In fact, no, if it's a black guy.
If it's a black guy, yes.
They won't
say
that they found a black mass shooter. Wah, 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 and Coulter. Right? Yes. And Coulter said that's it. Yes. It's the narrative that these insane people are trying to push. Meanwhile, as you said, all we just want is the news. Mm. Like, why do I have to go through a rabbit hole just to figure out what happened?
Okay, so let's go back to basics here for anyone in the media. Like, the reason we are paying attention to you is because we want to know if we're in danger. All people want to know is, are my kids safe? Are my friends safe? Are my family safe? Who do I have to look out for? And if you're covering that up with politically correct stuff and you're trying to tell us it's not really refugees, then you're no longer useful to us, because then you're just giving us propaganda. Yep. People are watching the news because they want to know, do I have to be careful of men from Syria if I live in Devon in England? Right? That's what you want to know.
Yep.
And I know it upsets lots of people because everybody goes, but shame the poor refugees. Mm. They've come from a shithole country.
Don't paint them all with the same brush.
It's very hard. They live in a war zone. But that's important information, because if these guys are coming out of war zones, chances are they've had a pretty hard, horrible, aggressive, and dangerous life up to now. You put them in a place in southwest England, you're putting essentially someone with massive PTSD who's living on the edge the whole time, who's probably violent by necessity, because otherwise he doesn't live in the country he's come from.
And unable to assimilate to whatever.
Exactly. And you're putting him in a country where, like, he is a barbarian and everyone else is civilized. And you expect it to go well. I think you are doing him, this refugee, the community that you're trying to engage with in news, and yourself a huge disservice.
But remember, it's because you can't say that he's a barbarian. Do you know what I mean? Because that now is somehow racist, xenophobic.
I don't know,
but it's like, look at where he comes from. As you say, in that country, you need to be a barbarian if you want to survive. Yeah. You know, like, I watched, and I often do this, right? I go and I watch old movies over and over again. Oh. And it's interesting because you'll actually, if you watch a lot of the old action movies, you'll see how America's enemies changed over the years. So if you watch Rambo, facts, right?
Russians
in Rambo 1.
Yeah.
Russians in, it was the Vietnamese in Rambo 1.
That's right, because they were still fighting.
Because they came back because he came back from Vietnam and nobody wanted him there. And he was a soldier from Nam and he struggled to assimilate. So he turned into Rambo. He became a savage.
Barbarian.
He fucked the whole town up.
Yeah.
Right? Because he came back with PTSD.
Yeah.
Right? Then in part two, he went to rescue POWs. And the enemy at the time was obviously the Viet Cong and the support they were getting from the Russians. And he has to hijack a helicopter. It's Rambo, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And then in part three, he aligns with the Afghan rebels. They are their friends at this stage, to fight the Russians who were occupying Afghanistan at the time, and whoever the fuck he was rescuing, Colonel Troutman, his dude.
Right.
But the Afghans are painted in this light, like, these are the soldiers of the Afghan army. And these guys, the Mujahideen, and never say die, and we admire these people's fighting spirit. That's the whole narrative of the movie.
And the funny thing is, in real life, that's actually what happened too.
You see what I mean? But then we were told,
America backed the Mujahideen until it didn't suit them anymore. Then they started backing the other guys. And then what's come out of that is ISIS. So,
there we go. But now we are told a completely different story.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm. So you can't report things honestly anymore and say this is a race of barbarians purely because they live in a barbaric place.
Correct.
It's not to say now that they're barbarians, they should all burn. It's to say they come from a place where this is what you have to do to survive.
You can't put those people in, like, Postman Pat land.
No.
And expect it to go well for Postman Pat and his black and white cat.
It's not right? going to happen.
It's not, because if Mujahideen runs into the black and white cat, that's food to him.
And if the Venezuelans come here, there'll be no more stray cats in Sazen.
And Postman Pat's red van becomes an arms dealing truck. Okay? That's just how it works. We are definitely cancelled in the UK this morning. This is not gonna.
I was gonna ask you, Garrett. Do you know? Because obviously, also what happens, the end result of it is eventually it pushes the people to the point where somebody rises up and says, "You know what? Fuck it. Let's all be barbarians." And there's a guy named Tommy. I think his name is Tommy Robinson. He was arrested the other day.
Yeah,
leading a march that said no more. Mm-hmm. We're going to call them barbarians because they come from a barbaric place. Mm-hmm. And we do not want this thing in our communities.
Right.
Because this is just one of many incidents. Another thing that's really alarming and completely just masked is the rape crisis that comes with the immigrant crisis.
Oh, nobody wants to talk about that.
Nobody wants to talk about that. Mm. And that's a very important one. Because
in Germany, in Sweden, in France. Like there's a place called Malmo in Sweden. And all the journalists get very uncomfortable when you talk about Malmo, because basically you can't speak anything but Arabic in that place. In Sweden, okay, Sweden's pretty far north. It's not close to Syria. It's not close to Afghanistan.
It's many borders away
from Syria. It's a long way away. Yeah. But in Malmo, it's basically Sharia law.
Because that's the section they've taken over.
Yeah, it's like in Minnesota in America, there are a lot of Somalians, which is why Ilhan Omar is a congresswoman, because she gets the Somalians there to vote for her. And she holds rallies where she doesn't even speak English in Minnesota, which is one of the most northern states in the United States of America. And people are just like pretending that this is perfectly okay or that it doesn't exist. And when you notice that it exists, you're the problem.
Mm.
So if you're not going to talk about this, cool. We don't have to upset anybody. But the fact is, when the news comes out and it's true that, for example, as a blonde Swedish chick who in the middle of summer might be walking around in bikini top, you wander by mistake into Malmo and that's terrible things happen to you, we're not going to pretend that that's okay. Because we choose to live, and South Africa, I hope, is one of these places too, in a country where women are allowed to wear whatever they want.
And go wherever
wherever they want. And I think that's more important than upsetting someone's culture or making them feel other or any of that stuff. I think it's more important that we protect the people in our countries. And I don't speak for Swedes here, but in South Africa, I don't want my sister, my mom, my girlfriends, the women I care about in my life to ever feel that they can't be themselves in their own country and do their thing and go to their places that they want to go to. I don't think that that's right in South Africa. I don't think it's right in Sweden. And if we're not going to talk about this, and if people like Tommy Robinson just get arrested, the problem
for saying something,
the problem's not going to go away. It's going to become worse because then you're going to end up in a situation where slowly but surely, and the left is asking for this, it's going to move more and more to the right. Mm. And we know what Europe looks like when it goes too far to the right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a happy story for anybody.
Ever.
And don't say, the rise of the right, when you've been fermenting that by suppressing people who have a very valid point to make just because it politically doesn't suit you. It's not good.
Yep.
Right. I think we solved all the world's problems.
Well, we do it every Wednesday.
Dude, what the hell?
We do it every Wednesday.
I think
Wednesday.
We solved all the world's problems.
Every Wednesday.
All right.
Let's take it there.
I mentioned just a little while ago, and we saw Kala van der Westhuizen in the comments section today. Kala was saying he spends 300,000 rand a year on
medical aid,
life insurance, medical aid, disability cover, education cover. The guy obviously, I mean, he tried to clean it up afterwards, but everybody else in the comment section thinks he's crazy. I don't know, hey?
Did he say 300,000?
300,000.
He must have like 20 dependents.
Yeah.
But it came up, and I know you've been talking about this too on your show, that we don't actually know. I mean, there's a lot of talk about the national health insurance now.
Yes.
We don't know what a medical aid scheme is. I don't think a lot of South Africans understand this stuff. I hope you don't mind. I thought while you were here, we'd get someone who I bumped into at the airport, funnily enough, on Friday. Maya Fisher French. She's great. Maya, I actually saw you on TV yesterday. Were you on TV yesterday morning?
Yes, I'm on TV every Tuesday morning. As some men say, they're singing it.
There we go.
Hey, Maya.
Hey, Maya. Go ahead.
Yes, I am. Every Tuesday morning, I'm on ENCA.
There we go.
So dropping see,
I turned on the TV and I see you. I bumped into you in person on Friday. It's all happening.
It's meant to be, Gareth. It's just meant to be.
Well, you're very famous and important in this world, and I also thought that you're exactly the right person to help us figure this out. Warris and I have been on social media talking about like medical aid schemes and how it all works, because it feels to a lot of us, first of all, like it's confusing as hell.
Mm.
Second of all, you're not sure whether you're being ripped off or not. Third of all, you're worried about, am I covered for half these things? Mm. So let's just start at the very beginning, because you're the best person I could think of to help us figure our way through this.
And it feels like a scam, Maya.
Yeah, well,
it's in the wording scheme.
Yeah,
scheme.
Yeah,
it's a scheme. It is. It's quite right. I think they need to change that. Actually, it's a good point. It used to be a medical aid. It aided you, not scheme. Now it's a scheme. I think you've got something there actually.
So let's just talk about this quickly. So a medical scheme is actually run as a non-profit, because we all think that these are companies that are trying to gouge and make the most money possible. That's not true. In their articles of constitution, in their makeup, in their very existence, these things are meant to be non-profits. Am I right?
Correct. And I think we need to make sure we separate things from there's the scheme and then there's the administrator. Now, some companies lump that all together, and the ones that people get very irritated about that have big buildings have often lumped those together. So it's not obvious to the, you know, to the customer or the member that there is this difference. But a medical scheme in and of itself is a non-profit. And often it actually pays out nearly about over 90% of the premiums that it receives. But remember, when you pay your premium, about 10% goes to the administration and marketing. So certainly the administrators of schemes, which are often separate businesses and separate companies, are profitable businesses. But the scheme itself, and in its essence, is non-profit. And I think that's very important. People always think, oh, you know, they're not paying out my claim because they're trying to make profits out of me. And that's not true. They may not be paying out your claim because they're probably going to go under if they pay out your claim. It's probably more along those lines.
Maya, that's very accurate. That's what people think. And there's a building in Sandton that begs to differ.
But I just want to say that if they take 10% to be the administrators, and that 10% also makes them a little bit of profit. I mean, we should wish for a government that actually ran at 10% of the total tax intake and put the other 90 back to the people who are paying the taxes. Wouldn't that be amazing? Because actually, that's very efficient, if you ask me.
I have to say, you know, to defend the administrators, you know, often what the administrators are there to do is also to actually present some sort of... you know, they take on all of the hospitals and the doctors, and they have to check the bills. They have to check someone's not scamming them. You know, there's a lot that goes into administration. So the more effective the administration, the better the outcome. So I think some money does need to go to administration. I think that is important. I think the Medical Schemes Council often has questions about how much money should be going to administration, and maybe that's the debate. But I do think an effective administrator is very important for a scheme as well. But remember, a scheme, technically speaking, can shop around, and it can go and choose any of the administrators that are out there. Some schemes choose not to do that, but that is possible. It effectively is an independent administrator from the actual scheme itself.
Okay, so correct us here if I'm wrong, but there are a whole lot of minimum benefits, right? Prescribed minimum benefits that you get from these schemes. And when you join, they're meant to tell you what those are. And most of them should cover a lot of the problems that the average South African has. What are prescribed minimum benefits? And give us a couple of examples, because you know this stuff.
Yeah, so prescribed minimum benefits it's basically in the Medical Schemes Act. They've said you have to provide these. You cannot deny anybody one of these, you know, treatment for any of these conditions. And there's 270 of these, and that includes 26 chronic conditions. So things like diabetes, hypertension, you know, all of those illnesses, chronic long-term illnesses, have to be covered by the scheme at cost. So this, the scheme actually has calculated, or the Council of Medical Schemes actually has calculated that that works out at about 800 Rand per member. So for a scheme to provide those 270 benefits at, you know, at what it costs them, them to, you know, what the doctors charge and what the medicines charge, they have to put aside 800 Rand per member. So even before you get out the starting blocks, you already have 800 Rand per month per member as a cost. So I think it's very important to understand, and it's been one of the huge debates in medical schemes, with medical schemes, about these prescribed minimum benefits. And one of the arguments has been, can we not offer less expensive cover, which has less prescribed minimum benefits? And that has been a debate in the medical scheme industry for about 10 years. And sadly, it's not the schemes that are the problem, but of course, as usual, it's government regulation. So that is one of the big debates that has been going on in the industry, to try and come up with the light, you know, LITE kind of plans that are more cost effective. But unfortunately, again, it's not the schemes who aren't offering that stuff. It's regulation that's preventing them from offering that.
Is that to say that the just so I understand you correctly, is that because members are saying, for example, I would like my contributions to go towards what I deem a benefit? In other words, if Gareth and I are on the same medical scheme and he is a diabetic, why am I contributing fees to cover Gareth's
sounds claims? That's communism. Mm-hmm. That's communism.
Yeah. Just asking. Regulation is blocking it. Yeah. Sorry, carry on, Mike.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that the amount of prescribed minimum benefits is possibly part of the issue, and also the fact that the medical schemes can't control some of those costs the same that they can on elective procedures, for example. That's part of the issue. But I think you must also remember the reason that regulation's in place is for cross-subsidization. And right now, you may not have diabetes, and you may be very annoyed that you are cross-subsidizing somebody who does. But if you get diabetes, let me tell you one thing I can assure you is you're going to get older. That's guaranteed.
Probably not.
And in some ways, in some ways, schemes are there to cross-subsidize the younger, healthier, the older people with the younger, healthier people. It is part of a societal, and if you think about NHI, all of those things, it is part of a societal agreement that, you know, when you're young and healthy, you're probably going to be cross-subsidizing to some degree the older you. And I think there has to be some understanding that this is part of it. We can't only just get what we use. We do sometimes have to subsidize.
So actually, one of the important things here is that these schemes, in order to be viable, they need to attract younger people. And I think probably there are a lot of bitter and resentful young people who are like, I don't need this. But it's kind of a way of investing in the future you, because you have to think about where these things, I mean, Kala, I mentioned in the comments section, he says, laugh all you want, you guys, mock me all you want, but when I'm hospitalized, no one in my family needs to start a GoFundMe, I hope. I mean, that's really what it is young people have got to start doing these things early on, so that you not only make a contribution so that you can look after yourself and your family, but also so that you become a part of this at an age where you can start to benefit from it much later on.
Absolutely. And remember that although a scheme cannot deny a member, so if you join and you've got diabetes and all of that, they cannot say no to you. They have to accept you. Unlike taking out life cover, where they can sort of risk rate you or tell you not allowed to have cover. But the one thing a scheme is allowed to do, it is allowed to charge a late penalty fee, a late joiner penalty fee. So if you have never belonged to a medical scheme before the age of 35, if you only join at the age of 35 or maybe even 40 or 50, you will start to pay a penalty. So it is actually very important to get onto a scheme before the age of 35.
Does that include dependents when you say young people? Because, for example, I'm on mine with three dependents. And, I mean, they are very young because they're kids. But my contributions...
So kids are expensive. Kids are, let's be honest, kids are expensive. So what they mean, you. That's what they mean. They mean the principal member.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, so Maya, I heard you mention NHI, and it's become, well, it's been a part of the news for quite a bit of time now. What kind of implications will NHI have on medical aid schemes? Or should I say schemes? Yeah.
Because that's not like government's money to play with, right?
Mm-mm. It's ours.
Well, you know, they think it's theirs. So
thank you, Maya. You've identified the problem.
Exactly. And I don't know if you heard it was the Institute of Race Relations coming out saying that they actually saw a drop in the polls for the ANC after they announced NHI. There's a lot of people who do not think NHI is a good idea in its current form. I don't think anyone disagrees that we should have universal healthcare. I think that is 100% any country that plans on developing and becoming, you know, world class needs universal healthcare. I think we just don't trust the government with our money. You know, it's that simple, right? We far too many examples. But I think the big issue for schemes, and this is something that they've done in South Africa that is different to the rest of the world, is they have said you may not, schemes may not offer the same, provide cover for the same benefits that the NHI will, which means that that your medical scheme will no longer be able to pay for you if you go to hospital or any of those things. It can only cover you for things that are not covered by the NHI. So it will start to become possibly things like plastic surgery. I don't know. You know, those sort of more luxury. Well, we don't know what. Remember, we don't know what the NHI is going to cover at this stage. So there is a concern that people don't have the right to opt for private healthcare on their own. And I think that's one of the things that's going to go up. You know, is one of the things that's being challenged constitutionally. So I think the medical schemes will be in big trouble if NHI comes through in the form that it is. And quite frankly, you and I will be in trouble because we won't have the option of being able to insure things that perhaps we don't want to rely on government for.
I love this. There's a comment from Aaron who says, can we negate health insurance and medical aid by simply just eating healthier while exercising? Is this not the root way to solve this all? I'm always impressed by people who take personal responsibility for this stuff. And obviously, you know, you can't predict the future. You said it just now, we're all getting older and something's going to get you eventually. And you hope it's not some condition that's going to be painful and chronic and long lasting. But this is one of the ways that you can try to make your life a little bit easier is by at least trying to live healthier. You know, if you're just eating everything and doing no exercise and you're expecting your medical aid scheme to save you, that's also irresponsible, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, a little bit of a bugbear for me as well. I mean, I think people do get medical conditions and it's fantastic that you have a medical scheme and we all could face something. You could be in a car accident, for example.
Sure.
But when somebody continuously does not look after their body and they add to the claims rate of the medical scheme, therefore the medical scheme has to keep putting up premiums, which affect all of us, then, you know, that is a question. And I think there are obviously schemes that are trying to encourage people to be healthier. Definitely. And it's actually one of the things about NHI as well. But I wanted to relate a quick story for that listener, because my husband is, you know, he's an endurance cyclist. He's healthy. He does all of those things, right? Mm-hmm. And at the age of 48, he was diagnosed with a genetic condition called hemochromatosis. And that means his body absorbs way too much iron. His iron levels were up to 3,000 and they're supposed to be less than 100. Sure. That is a result of a long-term chronic problem, which required him being on a medication that cost 20,000 rand a month for 6 months.
Wow, what?
Yes.
And the scheme paid for it. So let me let that hang in the air for the moment. The scheme paid for it.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
You may be healthy. You may right now think you don't need it. But then when it comes through and the scheme pays, believe you me, I'm like, the scheme is for me forever. And when he crashed off his mountain bike and needed an MRI, the scheme paid for it.
What we've learned from this is that obviously you don't have a say and some things will happen that are not your fault, but also that cycling is terrible for you.
I mean, cycling should not be part of a healthy living. Not part of healthy living selection.
Just quickly, because I think that there's so much innovation in this space, and there are businesses that are thinking on their feet here. But what are some of the things that you think need to be modernized or changed in order to create medical aid solutions for things that are novel. I mean, you know, we're not dealing with consumption back in the 1800s here. What can the medical aid schemes do better, in your opinion, Maya?
So I think the main thing for medical schemes is to attract younger people. I think for every year that the average age that the scheme ages by, so if you go from 37 to 38, for example, is the average age of the principal members, not your kids, the scheme experiences a 3% increase in claims. So you can see how important it is to keep your pool of people younger. Okay, mm-hmm. So when you're joining a scheme, always find out the average age of the scheme. But the one of them is around flexibility on day-to-day savings. So, you know, I see a lot of young people choosing just a hospital plan without any savings because they don't want to tie their savings up that they may not need that year into their medical scheme, right? But that then means, and I write about this, you must have an emergency fund, okay? But let's be honest, Gareth, how many people ever have an emergency fund? Even though I keep asking
none that I have one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, you know, some flexibility around there that if you do suddenly need to tap into savings that, you know, they could be available. So I think that would be something that I think would be very innovative. I think the other one would be certainly elective hospital procedures. You know, we've spoken about being healthy and young. You know, it's not likely we're going to need, well, I'm saying we, I'm not getting a bit too old to say we, but, you know, when you're younger, you're not likely to need a hip replacement, right? And we actually saw the implications of elective procedures during COVID, because during COVID, of course, no one could go to hospital and have hips and knee replacements and all those things. And the schemes actually ran massive surpluses for the first time, which is why we saw very, very little to no premium increases the following year. So imagine if we had no elective hospital procedures, our premiums would come down, you know?
Yeah.
So what about being able to say, okay, I want to be on a plan that you know, if I do need a hip replacement, I can still have one, but it's a co-payment, something where I have to pay in a portion of that, you know, like a car excess. So I think that would be another one to help reduce premiums. And I think the other one is the network. So, I mean, certainly the best way to cut your premiums is to say, I will only use hospitals or doctors within the medical scheme's network. Okay. And don't worry, they generally aren't quite good hospitals. You know, I always check that the one that I'm closest to is covered by it. But also you've got to check whether that plan is flexible. In other words, you want to go on the network, but do you want to have less benefits? Sometimes those network schemes can be actually just give you basically lower benefits. And you want to know, am I paying less because I'm just choosing to go to the local hospital that's on the network, or because I'm getting these benefits. So I think that would be another one that one certainly needs to watch out for. And then I think probably the other one, and I've spoken about flexibility, is, okay, and, you know, such a great example. My husband's a great example for this, right? You're young, you're healthy, you've chosen the basic plan with no savings, you know, all these things, but something happens. You know, you have a heart attack, or if you mountain bike, maybe you can fall pregnant. If you're a woman, you fall pregnant.
Right.
You know, and you have to wait till the January to change your plan. You know, what about being able to change your plan the next month? So I think the flexibility and allowing members to try and choose plans as close to their needs as possible are some of the great innovations that we could see.
All right. So you
may I, Gareth, point that I can agree with, because when I had my thing, I'm not sure if you know the background, but I tried to claim for my tooth. And the option that was given to me.
Show us?
It's gone.
Yeah.
I had to take it out because they said no. But anyway, the option that was given was, or that I thought would be accepted, would be to migrate the plan now. In other words, can I change from this hospital-only plan, perhaps to the slightly higher plan, and then do the tooth a month from now too? And they were like, no, you have to wait until January, because the way the scheme is, as you say, you've got to wait until January to change anything you want to change on it. Now, I can't wait until January with the tooth. No. And also, I mean, I just got pissed off. I pulled it out, bro. I'll see the 20,000 somewhere down the line. But something I wanted to add to that list of innovations, in the tweets, in one of the responses to the tweets, somebody mentioned, he was comparing it to insurance, and he was saying, I get a claim-free bonus.
Mm.
In other words, because that's exactly what I said on the show. I was saying, you know, I've been paying you guys for 3 years or whatever it is. I've never claimed for anything, never been to hospital. But we hardly get sick, you know. Why is it that out of that premiums, call it 100,000 rand, it's a round figure, why can I not qualify for perhaps 20% of my premiums in the form of a claim, not cashback?
Sure.
As a reward for not claiming over, call it a 36-month period or whatever it may be. Because young people, as you said, we need more young people on the schemes. But I think a big incentive would be, listen, we know you don't need it and you're young and you're healthy.
But you could get cash.
Not even cash. You could get a claim of some sorts back for dental, optometry, or perhaps even plastic surgery. You know, like aesthetic, because that's a big industry.
Maya, this is a good point, because there are already people doing this in car and home and personal insurance. Mm. Surely medical insurance has got to catch up here.
I like that. I agree with you that you know, one thing you couldn't do is cashback, right? Remember, you are ultimately, you're on that scheme because you're cross-subsidizing all the old people, right? So they can't just take the cash out and, you know, they can't just take the cash out of the scheme.
Claims.
But yeah, you could build up some sort of thing saying, well, you know what, if I need some really expensive dental, my goodness, dentistry is expensive. That's another whole thing. You know, that is a fortune. Anyway, but you could perhaps build up some sort of, you know, fund that says, well, if you have to suddenly out of the blue have a very expensive procedure, and maybe you've been on a basic plan, but you've been on our plan for 3 years and you've never claimed, I like that. And then you can, yes, we will cover a bigger event like that. I think so. And, you know, maybe we could even have that on something that's cosmetic, because a tooth could be
cosmetic, yeah.
Sure.
That was going to be my suggestion, yeah.
Mm. Maya, it would be remiss of me, since we've got you on and you are like the money guru for so many South Africans. How are we doing as a country? I know that you talk to so many people and you're constantly giving us massively useful information, advice on how we can manage our finances better. How are we looking as South Africans? We don't save. We seem to be running on empty half the time. We're living beyond our means. The economy is not really growing at the rate that it should be. What's your overall prognosis for South Africa and our personal finances?
I'll handle this one, Maya.
Terrible.
Is he right?
You know, we're not doing great. One of the things is we are seeing a shift. So for the first time, there's a monitor I follow. One of the insurance companies does a savings and investment monitor every year. And this year, for the first time, they're seeing a trend change. Yeah. People are actually starting to feel a little less stressed about money. And I do think a lot of this is that we are seeing upticks. You know, I think this you know, the new changes in government, there seems to be an energy coming through. We're going to see interest rate cuts next rather than increases. So I think we'll see a little people getting more excited. But yes, as long as our economy isn't growing, how do you create jobs? How do you create savings? It's a problem. And of course, credit. Don't even get me started. That's another hour. The way that the credit industry works has really made sure people remain poor.
Now that's a conversation I'd love to have.
Well, listen, I know how busy you are, and I really appreciate you making time for us this morning. Maya on Money, and of course, you can find out more. We'll put all the other details in there, the social media handles, everywhere else you can find Maya Fisher-French. It's great to have you on the show, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Maya.
Thank you, Maya.
Let me touch base with you. I'll see you at the airport.
Okay, absolutely. That's what will happen. I like it. All right, very good. So we've solved the world's problems, and we've managed to solve our financial problems, and we've worked out a little bit more, I hope, this morning about what a medical aid scheme is. Medical scheme. I still hate that word.
That word. Scheme,
Look
for full disclosure. Like I was saying, I ended up taking the tooth out because they were scamming me.
Yeah.
No. I went back to the dentist and I said, like, pull it.
You did it the right way.
I had a visual picture of you, like, pulling them out yourself. You're like, nah, I've had enough.
It is a little bit more complicated. Otherwise, I would have just done it at home. But the issue was, and like I like what Maya said there about adding, just Maya, yo, it's my idea. So if you give it to them, please don't forget me.
Give him credit.
Why I think it's a good idea is because when you think of something like dental, it's not necessary for me to have, like, you know, my life is not in danger, right? Mm. The tooth is out. But because of where the tooth is positioned, now if I laugh with my mouth open,
or you look like a homeless person.
I look like a homeless person because it's not far back enough
right
to be hidden. Mm. I've got other teeth removed. You know, like you remove your wisdoms. Nobody says, oh, sure, hey, you took your wisdoms out.
No one cares.
So the closer to the front, you know, it's unsightly. So that would be considered cosmetic by the medical aid. You know, it's not necessary. It's not life.
You said, well, it'll cost 20 grand.
$20,000 for an implant. You've got to build the base and then they take some bone and then they do it. Like the whole thing was explained to you. It's a procedure. But let's say it costs 20 grand and I haven't claimed, as I say, for 3 years.
Yeah.
If I qualified for 20% back of my premiums in the form of a claim, people would now be encouraged because you can tell them you get something cosmetic.
Right.
A lot of people want to sort their teeth out. It might be something like teeth whitening. It might be...
Well, they got a crooked nose.
What you might want to go for? Yes. Even if it's something aesthetic.
Their ears pinned back because they look like Prince Charles.
They want to go for threads so they can have that, that like Michael Jackson eye. They want to do filler, Botox, all these things that people are
Brazilian
doing.
Butt lift.
That's what the youth are doing. So I'm saying it becomes attractive to them because now you're like, listen, if you don't claim for 2 years or 3 years or whatever the case may be, you get back, even if it's 5,000 rand, towards a procedure. Now, if Botox is going to cost me 10 and my scheme is giving me 5, bro, I'm going in for the Botox.
Yep.
These are all these cosmetic things that I think people would be encouraged to do.
I think that's such a good idea, especially if they want to attract young people. So Bitcoin Boots says, yes, my wife just got an implant. It is expensive. There we go.
Tooth.
Rebellious Ruth is saying, tooth.
Yeah.
Rebellious Ruth says,
we need to clear that one
up. Okay,
because like implant could mean anything.
Boob reductions. There's something that costs a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. What? Breast reduction?
Yeah. And enhancement.
Well, I was going to say, I've only known enhancers. I haven't known reducers.
But... Yeah, listen, there's some women that are having that have back problems because of
I'm teasing. I have an aunt and a cousin or two that have done breast reduction. It's a big story. Mm-hmm.
This is a very sad story here from Janet. She says, when I was 21, my tits were down to my knees. Good genes or an overloading by the big guy up there when handing out rations, but she had to have them reduced.
I see. Sorry,
down
Janet.
To her knees.
By 21?
Yes.
Yeah,
big
no, that's
pendulous.
Tough.
Janet, thank you for sharing. You're very brave.
Yes, you are. you really are. I wish I had a cup or two cups to lift for you.
You know, what we're doing here is exactly why someone like Janet, right?
Wants to go for the op.
No, but imagine Janet wants to go for the op and then the scheme is like, Janet, you don't need that. That's cosmetic. It's not, bro. My life is falling apart.
Her back must take such strain.
Can you
imagine?
So,
all right, I love it. This has been lots of fun. It feels like 5 minutes, but we've been going for since 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Jack McClante, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Warris, thank you, dude.
Thanks,
the Shady Podcast. I bumped into someone the other day who says to me, hey, listen, I love that show that you guys have got on the Real Network, the Shady Podcast. It's the what? This is the Shady Podcast because it's
P-H-A-T, fat.
It's got a... PH in it.
Hey, so
you pronounce it podcast. So there we go. All right. The Shady Podcast. You can catch that on the Real Network and a brand new episode this week, as it is every week. Also, don't miss the On the Bounce show. We've got sport. We've got Warris and PH. We've got this show. And there are a whole lot more coming. So stick around. It's like, subscribe, blah, blah, blah. Do all the stuff. We will see you on Friday at 6 a.m.